be with us in a couple of weeks. We'll turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2 as we continue our series on Paul, Timothy, and troubled times. And Paul reminded Timothy in verse 15 of chapter 1 that you know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me, and kind of indicating that they had given in to the pressure and had abandoned the faith and had abandoned the Apostle Paul himself. And with that in mind, then in chapter 2, Paul begins this way and says, "You then, Timothy, my son, you be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." It's as if he's saying, since people are abandoning the faith, Timothy, you need to just be strong in the grace that is the grace of the Lord Jesus. Never mind what others do. Never mind how you're feeling or how timid you might be by nature or disposition. You stay strong in the Lord. Don't quit. Don't give up. And Paul appropriately reminds Timothy and us that it's not a call to be strong in your own power or strength, but be strong in the grace that is found only in Christ Jesus, to be reminded that we can do all things through Christ. Paul then encourages Timothy to keep discipling and teaching others. In verse 2, he says, "And the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others." He wants Timothy, he says later in the letter in chapter 4, "Do your best to come to me quickly." So he wants Timothy to come and join him in Rome, but he realizes before you can do that, you need to make sure that you've got solid people in place to be able to continue to teach and to disciple others. And so notice he refers to the things you heard me say in the presence of many witnesses. And by the things you heard me say, he's referring to the gospel. He's referring to the doctrine, to the teaching of Scripture. But notice he says, you heard me say it in the presence of many witnesses. And over the next century or so, it's already beginning perhaps at the time of his writing to Timothy, but it was going to be a growing heresy, the heresy that was known as Gnosticism. And part of the deception of that heresy was a claim to have secret traditions and secret revelations that had been passed down to these Gnostic folk, these teachers, but they were saying that they had gotten this kind of secret hidden revelation handed down from the apostles themselves. So it was like, sure, the gospel was preached to all you run-of-the-mill people, but some of us that were in the know, some of us that had this esoteric kind of wisdom thing going on, well, we got the secret stuff that was only passed down from the apostles. And so Paul makes it clear, there's no secret handshake, there's no decoder ring to figure out the scripture, you know, that if you'll take every other word, it tells you who the mark of the beast is or whatever, that kind of stuff. I mean, that kind of nonsense. He just says, look, it was the plain stuff that I made plain to you in the presence of many witnesses. And so I want you to rest in the comfort that the Word of God is the Word of God. And you've heard me say it so often and quoting wise men of the past, but the main things are the plain things, and the plain things are the main things. And that's what we know of His Word. So Paul encourages Timothy in taking this strong stand for the Lord and to pass this deposit, this gospel that he's received, this teaching, teach others, make disciples. And then he encourages him to stand strong in the Lord by using three different metaphors, that of a soldier, an athlete, and that of a farmer. So in verse 3, he says, "Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus." No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs because he wants to please his CO, his commanding officer. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier. It kind of helps that he says, endure it with us, that we're not alone, we're all in this together. And Paul lets him know, look, living for Jesus won't be easy. Take up a cross and follow Jesus. It's no picnic. Sacrifice is called for, Timothy, but we're all going to sacrifice together. We're all in this together. Most of us here are too young to remember the sacrifices that Americans made during World War II. But there were ration books and shortages of all kinds, and everyone was sacrificing for the war effort simply because there was a war on. That was kind of what was stated, like, well, we can't do that. Why not? Because there's a war on. And church, I would just tell you this morning, there's a war on. and we are soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're in a spiritual battle. There's a spiritual war going on, and we're in the midst of a worldwide physical pandemic, and we're all in this together, but just as Paul tells Timothy, sacrifices have to be made. Again, after all, there's a war on, and we're soldiers. And there's three things you need to remember then as soldiers of Christ Jesus. Well, not just three, but here's the three I'm going to tell you about real quickly this morning. First of all, soldiers are under orders. You're not your own. When you put that uniform on, you're not your own. You belong to somebody else. And from all the movies I've seen, the drill sergeant makes it pretty plain to you, okay? In your face telling you, you know, yeah, you're not your own. You belong to me now. You don't get to do as you please. You don't get to go where you want to go. You don't get to act the way you want to act because you're under orders. You live under orders. You've got an assignment, a mission, instructions, and orders from our commanding officer, from Jesus, and our response as soldiers of Jesus Christ is to be, aye, aye, sir. I remember about 40 years ago, see if Dale remembers this or not, but we were driving down 51st Street, I guess maybe coming to church or coming to my house over here, and I said to Dale, this was after a period of some depression and stuff, I was trying to just figure out what was next in my life, and I said to him, well, Dale, I know one thing for sure, he's nodding that he remembers, I know one thing for sure, I won't just stay here and become the next pastor of Carbondale. I know that for sure, right? That was about 82 or something probably, yeah. That's how prophetically insightful I was, right? That was my thought, but I'm a soldier, you see. And my heavenly CO sent word that I was assigned to Carbondale. I had orders here. It seems like it was some kind of permanent duty, but that I'm still here after all these years. I'm under orders. And I'm going to tell you this morning, I believe that you're under orders as Christians, and I believe that you have been assigned here, you've had orders to report here to Carbondale Assembly of God by your CO. You're not here by accident. You're a soldier of Christ Jesus, and he's given you an assignment to be here. Whether you've been here 30 years or you've been here 3 months, you've been assigned here. There's a reason why God brought you here to this church. So dig in. Figure out, here's another military, figure out your MOS, right? How many know what your MOS is? All right. Really? How many don't know what the MOS is? All right. How many just are not even paying one dadgum attention to anything I'm saying this morning? I had to look it up. I knew kind of what it was, but I wasn't sure what the letter stood for. Military Occupational Specialty. So after you've gone to boot camp, then they go figure out, like, yeah, you've got a doctorate in physics. We figure you're good at changing tires, and they put you in the motor pool or whatever it is. It's the genius of the military. But anyway, you have to know what your assignment is. What's my specialty? This is what I'm going to do. And so let's figure out together what your MOS is. Let's figure out what your specialty is, what the gifting is, and then let's carry out his orders and please our CO. And I know it's difficult right now. We're all having to sacrifice. I read an obituary this week of a lady that she got married just a few weeks after she was married. Her husband was shipped in World War II to the Pacific Theater, and they didn't see each other for 4 years. 4 years. I know we've kind of been isolated from one another for 11 months, but at least it hadn't been 4 years. I know this is hard. You know why? Because it's wartime. And I'll just tell you, I've wanted to quit and walk away more times than I can count, and I think I'm speaking for the other pastors. I won't speak for them. You'd have to ask them, but we've all kind of felt it, and you probably felt it too. You'd like to just throw in the towel. Can I quit being a parent? You know, this is hard, trying to work and trying to homeschool and all the things that you didn't expect to have to do in all of this stuff. And so you just want to know, you just think, I just can't do this, but you want to know why we're still here? Because we're soldiers and we live under orders, and the orders are to fulfill the obligation we have. And I'll say it again, I believe you're called to Carbondale just like the pastors are, and we all need to be faithful and prayerfully carry out our orders. So I'm just asking you today, don't go AWOL. Got that one, absent without leave. So that's the last of my military abbreviations, I think. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is. So anyway, the point is, there's just too much to do, and you're needed, and there's going to be more that's going to be needed to be done. And I know this is hard, and let me just say a word about the pandemic and all this stuff and the way we've handled this. And I would say this, that everyone in the world that's in leadership has had to make some difficult decisions during this time. And I'm not looking for pity, not even asking for understanding at this point. I just need to kind of share my heart this morning. I've made some hard decisions as pastor. The other pastors on staff have made some hard decisions in through this. We're just trying to walk through this and do our best and my best to keep everyone as safe as we could and still be able to gather in person and to gather online. That's the international gesture towards the camera for those of you who are watching at home today. But we wanted to try to make it as safe as we could and everyone be able to worship. And I know, too, that there are some other churches in town that are much more open than we are. And in case you don't know it, there are churches in town that are still meeting only online who have not met in person since March of last year. And so it runs the full spectrum, and all those folks are being as faithful as they know how to be to pastor their church. It's like, well, why aren't we more like one of those other churches or whatever? And my only response can be, I'm not assigned to their church. I'm not their pastor. I had orders here to Carbondale. The CO assigned me here, and this is what I'm responsible for. And so that's what I have to do. All of us as citizens of Tulsa and our church were placed under a city ordinance. The churches were asked to submit a safety plan to show the steps we were taking to keep people safe and be in compliance, and we did that. And when they asked us to do other things, we did that. And that's why the signs are out there that when you come in, please wear a mask, because that's what the city asked us to do. And so we're trying to be compliant with all those things. We said we would take those steps. We filled out the form. We submitted that. And we're trying to keep our word. We don't have to like it, but here's what we know. Here's what I know. And this is where I looked for direction. The same guy that wrote this letter to Timothy under the anointing of the Holy Spirit and direction of the Holy Spirit wrote to another group of Jesus followers that were living under some harsh edicts of their government. And here's what he told them. And this is what I read to understand what I needed to do. He said, "Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so bring judgment on themselves. Therefore, it's necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but this is what talked to me, but also because of conscience. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. And this is about conscience, mine, not other pastors, not yours, but this is about mine as the pastor of this church at Carbondale and the assignment that God gave me. And so as much as possible, I feel we're to obey the laws of the land and do all we can to keep everybody as safe as we possibly can. However, ultimately, and make sure you hear this, ultimately, my allegiance and our allegiance is to Jesus, our King and our CO, and we are soldiers of Jesus Christ. And he's assigned us all here, and I'm so glad. If we gotta fight the devil, I'm glad I'm doing it with this group of people right here. I'm glad you're in this company and that you've been given orders, and we've received those orders to storm the gates of hell, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to bring salvation and hope and healing and the good news of Jesus to everyone we can reach. And we've got a mission to be the church in this community and in this city, and to let our light shine as citizens and as servants of Jesus so that it brings honor to him and not reproach. And we're serving in wartime conditions, and it may be a little extreme right now, but the mission is still the same. And I'm convinced, and been more so in the last few days, that there is the greatest potential and opportunity for God to sovereignly begin to move in this nation as the church begins to turn to him as never before. God's going to show up and do some extraordinary things, and we don't want to miss it. It's been difficult, but I know we're going to come through this. And the five of us pastors met here last Monday at my house, and we prayed and we talked and strategized. We're planning for I think an exciting reboot of some things, and we'll have more to say about Sunday school and some new things that are coming in the next few weeks as we're able to safely move ahead. But we've got a mission, and I just need everybody to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, like Paul told Timothy, and keep praying and believing and serving as good soldiers, because we're going to get through this, because there's some exciting things that I believe the Spirit of God is going to release on his church and in this planet, in this earth. So then, second thing, soldiers must stay focused. Boy, I'm going to be you that are watching online, you're going to miss the end of this sermon because I'm going to run out of time. Soldiers have to stay focused. Paul said, don't get entangled in civilian affairs. He's not suggesting that Christian soldiers shouldn't work a job or run for office or have a hobby or whatever. He's just saying, make sure your focus stays on Jesus, on the mission to make disciples and to serve God and to serve others and to serve his church. Because if you lose your focus, you might lose your weapon and then you might lose your life. And that phrase, don't get entangled, it bears the image of a soldier getting his sword tangled up with the garment that he's wearing, and he can't draw it out in time, and then he's in trouble. Don't get distracted. Carry out the mission. Keep the focus where it needs to be, on Jesus and on serving him. And then finally, soldiers please their commanding officer. That's what Paul said. Here's the whole idea, that he wants to please his commanding officer. This is our goal, is to please Jesus. And whatever else we do, the question is, are we pleasing Jesus with our words and our actions and our choices? We want to please others, but are we pleasing Jesus? And I hate disappointing people. And I wish I could make everybody in the church happy. And you just can't do, you just can't do it. You make somebody happy and the other guy goes, I don't know what in the world you're doing that for. And there's just no way. But at the final analysis, I have to give an answer and an account to Jesus. And above all, I have to please him. And so let's be good soldiers, even enduring suffering and sacrifice, so that someday we'll hear the commanding officer say, well done, good and faithful servant and soldier. And then Paul's second metaphor is that of an athlete. So he says, similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. Paul uses this metaphor of an athlete quite often in his letters. Today, you may have heard, there's a little football game this afternoon. Today's Super Bowl Sunday. Those athletes have to play by the rules in order to win the game. I always kind of smile a little bit about that because, well, we all know, and I think somebody ought to check to see who's airing up the balls in Tampa today, but that's just me. But I'm thinking not only, some of you get that and some of you don't. Some of you thought it was funny and some of you are torqued. Anyway, where is Paul Cushman when you need him? But I'm thinking not only of the rules of the game and the rules of the NFL, but the athlete can't receive the victor's crown unless that individual athlete plays by the rules of training and discipline in his own life. You won't win if you don't exercise discipline and train and prepare to win. You got to get in shape and stay in shape and prepare for this. Paul told Timothy in his first letter, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life, the self-discipline you apply here, it's good for the present life, but also the life to come. If we're going to win the victor's crown, we've got to apply the rules of discipline and faith and godliness to our life so we can compete and win, and we play by God's rules. We have to train to be godly. Study the Word of God. Pray. Surrender your life to Jesus. Live a life of obedience as a good soldier and as a disciplined athlete. And that means you'll have to say no to some things, stuff that you'd love to do, but an athlete says, yeah, but I can't do that. I can't break training for that. I can't eat that. I can't give in to that. You'll sacrifice short-term pleasure for long-term gain, for eternal gain, for the life to come, Paul said. You'll have to persevere. Athletes play through pain, and so do Christians. I heard it the other day. One of the guys, he was in the playoffs, I think, or whatever, and they said he'd been playing with a broken fibula or something. He played like three games with he had a broken leg. What in the world? Well, put a little tape on that leg and let me get back out there. I mean, I don't know how you do that, but you play through the pain. You can't quit because it gets difficult. As they say, if it was easy, everybody could do it, right? It takes energy and it takes effort, and because it's about eternity, then you're motivated and called to leave it all on the field, all right? We don't need anybody playing in the Super Bowl that's just going, you know, half at it somehow or another. We need everybody to leave it on the field. Here's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians, so I will very gladly spend for you everything I have and expend myself as well. Paul said, I'll give you every dime I've got and every last effort because this is about the kingdom. This is about the church. This is about eternity. You'll have to go above and beyond to win the victor's crown. Paul writes, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that won't last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Folks, this is about eternity. This is about spiritual things. It's not just about whether we can make a living at something. This is about eternity. It's not about the Lombardi trophy. It's about the crown of victory given to everyone who overcomes. And Jesus says it to the church over and over again in those first chapters of Revelation. It's to he who overcomes, I'll give this. It's for the overcomer. We've got to remain faithful to love Jesus and live for him. It may cost you everything, but it will be worth more than everything. It'll be worth it all when we see Jesus endure hardship as a good soldier and you get the approval of the CO. Persevere as an athlete and you win the prize, the victor's crown, and it'll be worth it when we hear him say, "Well done." And then finally, Paul tells Timothy, the hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Soldiers and athletes, heroes in front of a cheering crowd, right? Soldiers used to come home to a ticker tape parade. You could name famous soldiers, you know, Pershing and Patton and Eisenhower Sergeant York. Thank you for a World War I reference there, whatever. Schwarzkopf, wasn't he the general during the Desert Storm? I started to write Schwarzenegger, and I thought, no, I'm pretty sure he was a... Douglas MacArthur, another great soldier. And you can name athletes, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady. Anyway, you can come up with those guys, Barry Sanders and whatever. But famous farmers, Old MacDonald, that was all I could get. It was the only guy I could think of. John Deere, pretty sure he was an engineer, made a tractor. I don't know if he was a farmer. So then I had people in the first service, Orville Redenbacher. I think he was just making popcorn. I don't know. But anyway, I couldn't think of any famous farmers. The soldier gets the medal. I know you'll email me later, won't you, the names of famous farmers. Sarah this morning said George Washington Carver. I don't think of him as a farmer. I think of him more as a scientist figuring out what to do with that. Or Skippy, because he made the peanut butter. He must have been a farmer. And Jimmy Carter, because he was a peanut farmer. Anyway, I got to finish this. So the soldier gets the medal. The athlete wins the trophy. But the farmer, what does he get? The hardworking farmer gets the satisfaction of seeing the crop grow, of reaping the harvest and sharing in the sweet fruit of his labor. We are soldiers, we are athletes, and get ready for it, we are farmers. Bum ba da bum 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 bum. Thank you. I wrote that Thursday. I was working on the sermon, and I wrote that we are soldiers, we are athletes, and I thought, I'm actually going to say it. We are farmers, and I knew if I didn't point it out, you were just going to be doing that in your head. Bum ba da bum 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 bum. I actually wrote out bump to the bump bump so I would remember what it was. That's how weird I am. If you're going to be a hardworking farmer, and if you're going to enjoy the fruit and receive a share of the crops, you'll have to be patient, because that's at the heart of being a farmer. It takes hard work and perseverance, sowing and planting, breaking up fallow ground and planting and tilling and weeding the garden and guarding against animals and pests that want to destroy the plants and eat the fruit, and you'll get frustrated. At least I would be if I was a farmer. I don't understand why we're not seeing something. I don't understand why we don't see corn yet. I planted and I watered and I kept the weeds away. Why isn't something happening? It takes patience. Takes time. Farmers have to be committed to the long haul, to the long game. We're farmers. Hard work, it's hot, it's backbreaking, but a harvest is coming. And they do it for the harvest. Church, we're doing this for the harvest. We're doing this because there's something ahead for us. We're doing it because someday he'll hand us a crown of righteousness. The righteous judge will hand it to us as athletes. We're doing it because someday, as good soldiers, we'll say, we defended the cross and the kingdom and the faith, and he'll say, well done, good and faithful. If we're going to do this, you're going to have to be patient, but we're going to have to work at it. Be patient. Parents, you're raising a crop of children. Teachers, you're raising students. Preachers and teachers, we're growing disciples. But what about when's the harvest? And you plant and you sow, but it just takes time, and we're tempted to grow impatient. We're just not seeing it happen yet. Parents, parents are like, I'm not seeing much progress. You're waiting for the husband to go, you know, that middle kid, he's just not getting it. Let's just move him out of the way and make another one. You know, that's not, you don't do that, right? Parents don't get to do that. Like, he's just not working out, you know? You're committed to it. And so that's why your spouse says, just be patient. He's probably going to grow up and be a preacher. Just be patient. He's gonna catch on. He's going to stop doing that, you know. I don't know. I can think of a lot of things. He won't. Anyway, you get it. So if you've been a parent, you get it. Instead, we're going to keep sowing and keep working and keep running off the predators and remain vigilant. Paul says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we don't give up. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't stop. Endure suffering. Keep training. Keep persevering in godliness. Keep sowing and planting and working, because it all pays off in the end. All the sacrifice, all the two-a-days, all the training, all the back-breaking weeding and planting and harvesting, all the frustration will be worth it all when we see Jesus, when we hear him say, well done, when we get to see the fruit of our labor. I love that John chapter, in 3 John verse 4, he says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Parents, if you'll just be faithful and train up your children in the way they should go, someday you'll see that they're still serving Jesus and living for him, and you can say with John, I have no greater joy than seeing my children living for Jesus and serving him. Pastors will be able to say, there's no greater joy than noticing that those students are living for Jesus, or that kid that was in my Sunday school class is living for Jesus, or that person that I helped out there in the foyer, they're living for Jesus. That's the fruit of our labor. So Paul says, Timothy, reflect on what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all of this. Timothy, think about this, because I know you're tempted to want to give up. I know you're tempted, because you know what happened in the other churches in Asia, that they deserted and they gave up the faith. And Timothy, I know you're tired, and I know you're weary, and I know it feels like you're never going to get to the harvest, and you're just not sure about this. But I'm telling you, don't quit and don't give up. Some of you, you're a school teacher. Don't quit. I know this has been a hard year for you, but don't quit, because it's making a difference. Don't quit, you guys, because it's making a difference. Stay in there. There's a harvest that's coming. You pastors, don't quit, because there's a harvest that's coming. You've worked and gone through whatever years of training and education or whatever, there's a reason for it. You've got an assignment. Don't quit. Just continue to be faithful. Be that athlete. Be that student. Be that soldier. I mean, be that faithful, hardworking farmer, because we're going to see a harvest when we get through this. Reflect on what the Lord is saying, and he'll give you insight. I just want you to take a minute to reflect on what I'm saying today and allow the Lord to give you insight. Are you obeying the orders from your CO? Have you got an assignment and you know what it is? Then are we being faithful to fulfill it? Are you disciplining yourself and applying the rules of godliness to your life so you can run the race and win as an athlete? And are you patiently working and sowing good seed so you can reap that good harvest? I know it'd be easy to quit. I think about it a lot. But until the Lord says, I got a new assignment for you, then we just put our hand to the plow and we keep going. Amen? Because that's what he calls us to. I didn't hear a hearty amen there, but that's what I'm going to believe. We're going to pray. Lord Jesus, we bow our hearts before you today and ask you for insight into all this. Because, Lord, I know there are people here that just been thinking, I just can't do this. There are teachers that just think, I don't know if it's worth all this. There are frontline people, doctors and nurses and first responders that are just weary of all this, and they're just thinking, I don't know. I don't know if we can do this anymore. I'm just looking for another way. People under all kinds of pressure in this life and in this season we're in, this wartime that we're in. But Lord, I pray you'd encourage them today not to give up, not to quit. I know it's hard, but don't quit. Let them hear Jesus. Let them hear you saying to them what Paul said to Timothy, you then, my son, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. Be strong in the grace that he has for you as a teacher, as a business person, as a parent, as a first responder, working in the medical field, whatever you're, as a pastor, whatever it is, be strong. Be strong in the grace that you find in Christ Jesus. Don't quit. Don't give up. May the Lord give us insight, because, Lord, there's a harvest and it's important. We got to keep sowing. We got to keep going, because there's a harvest someday. We've got to keep going, because there's a finish line we have to cross as athletes. And there's a winner's circle, Paul will tell us later in this letter. And the righteous judge, Jesus, will hand us the crown of righteousness that day. Oh, I want to see that. I want to be there for that, Lord. There's a commanding officer, and I want to please you, Jesus, more than anything. I want to please you. So, Lord, grant your grace to us today. Strengthen us. Strengthen us by your grace so we won't quit, so we'll finish the race, so we'll run strong and true. Lord, you set it by the Spirit this morning. You set before us an open door that no man can shut. Help us, Lord, to stay committed to the task until we cross that finish line. Help us to walk on through. Oh, Lord, let it be. Be encouraged today. Church, be encouraged today. Everything around us is discouraging. Be encouraged today. Let the grace of God just begin to well up in your heart. Let the anointing of the Holy Spirit begin to fuel you and refresh you and renew you. There's reason for you to press on. Don't give in to despair, but be encouraged today, for the Spirit of God is alive and well and moving in His church. He infills you today with His Spirit. Be encouraged, and let the Lord show you that there is more than sufficient grace for whatever is ahead for you and in your life. Lord, let it be for us today. Let it be for us today. Thank you for your provision. Thank you for your peace that comes to us today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen and amen. The Spirit of the Lord says again to cast your cares upon the Lord and not give in to despair. There's failure lurking around, but God calls you to walk in obedience to Him and promises that all those that stay faithful to Him will indeed cross that finish line and stand in His presence. Others may turn away. You remain faithful to the Lord Himself. For He is the one who calls you, and He is faithful. He cannot and He will not fail. Trust Him and be strengthened by His Spirit today. Oh, Lord, let it be today. Let it be for us today, Lord. Let it be for us today. Let it be for us today. You're weary, but Jesus has strength for you. You're overwhelmed, but He has power for you today. They're in a storm, but He's going to lift you above the storm. He's going to cause you to soar on eagle's wings today. That's what the prophet said. You'll run and not be weary. You'll walk and not faint. Trust Him today. Trust Him today. Receive the blessing of the Lord today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance and give you peace. Let it be, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I love you. I'm glad we're in the Army together, or Air Force, or Navy, or Marines, or Coast Guard, or whoever you are. We'll see you Wednesday night or Sunday morning, online or in person. Bless you. Amen.